On the agenda is House Bill 1091, to make compliance with federal selective service requirements a condition of obtaining certain driver's licenses. Representative Adelson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I have some amendments to the bill that are simply correcting a few words of in error, if I may circulate them.
If you would just pass those out, and then we'll take it from there, Representative.
I better keep one. I don't think it makes sense.
Did you keep one of the others? Are there two amendments or just one?
Just one amendment.
Okay.
One amendment just changes some language, and this little funny little deal, I don't know what it's called, is supposed to be replaced by the word APP.
But it's a funny little deal? Okay. Okay, if someone would move... Representative Knold moves the amendment. Representative Peterson, Gordon Type, seconds. Now, Representative Adelstein, you may go ahead on the bill.
I've never had occasion to address such a happy committee. So.
Well, we are. Now, we'll...
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Presentation on 1091 with the pending amendment.
Right. This really, truly is a simple bill. It makes it possible, it reduces the cost, and increases the efficiency, and helps us assure that everyone who should be registered for the Selective Service is indeed registered. There are some who suggest that perhaps it isn't the job of the Motor Vehicle Department to register people for Selective Service, even if it's mechanical, because driving is not a condition of obeying the law. But as one of the governors in the 14 other states, or 16 other states, have said, it is an obligation to obey the law of the United States to have any privilege in this great country, and that driving is not a right, it's a privilege. So I think it's a very, very logical that that this bill be enacted and save money and assure that people are registered for the Selective Service. With that, I'd like to turn this over to Colonel Clyde Wilkes, Colonel Lyle Wilkes, who has flown from Denver to address the committee on this issue. He's the regional director of the Selective Service System. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Adelstein.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of your committee. Sir, I have a prepared written testimony I'd like to give to you or to the recorder enter it into your committee.
Would you bring that up to me, please?
And, sir, with your indulgence, I'd like to read my prepared testimony to you. And, again, ladies and gentlemen, I am Colonel Lyle Wilkes. I am the Region 3 Director of Selective Service System in Denver, Colorado, where my headquarters is located. Today I represent and bring greetings from the Honorable Alfred Rascone, the Director of Selective Service System and a Medal of Honor recipient. I am here to provide expert testimony in support of House Bill 1091. And with this bill, you have an opportunity to give added emphasis, real meaning, and urgently needed support to an important federal program that is a key element to the national security strategy. And this is especially important these days, and America must remain prepared to employ all necessary resources in our fight against terrorism. And that said, let me reassure you that my agency is now not in the draft business. The last draft ended more than 28 years ago. Today, it has been since its inception 60 years ago, the Selective Service System is in the national defense readiness business. We are also in the fairness and equity business, and that means we are in the people business. So House Bill 1091 is not about reinstating the draft. It is about being ready for an uncertainty of war. It is also about guaranteeing future peace through strength and readiness. It is about underwriting our society's future, and it's about helping South Dakota's youth accept responsibility and do what's right. Here are some facts to consider. Although there is no draft, our nation must be capable of conducting one if needed for war on terrorism or homeland defense. Thus, prudence dictates and federal law demands that men must still register with Selective Service System at age 18. They can register late, but once they reach age 26, they can no longer register. Registration preserves the vital link between our all-volunteer force and society at large. It shows that the world we aim to stay strong, and we expect our youth to be responsible as the generations before them have been. It also demonstrates to the men and women of our all-volunteer force that the general population stands behind them, ready to serve if a crisis at hand makes a draft necessary. Some of you may have draft age sons or son-in-laws 18 through 25, or sons approaching that age. I hope you share in my sentiment that if a draft is necessary, we want the young men in our lives to be subject to the most fair and most equitable draft in our nation's history. In this regard, the degree to which a draft can be fair and equitable in wartime is directly related to today's registration compliance during peacetime. Every man not registered increases a law-abiding registrant's chances, perhaps your son's chances, of being drafted. Furthermore, under federal law, if a man fails to perform his civic and legal registration duty, it makes himself ineligible for federally backed student loans, grants, jobs in the U.S. government, vocational job training, and if he is an immigrant seeking citizenship, he will be denied by the INS if he hasn't registered with the Selective Service System. And so registration is virtually important to both the security of our nation and the future of our state's young men. Yet, despite its criticality, compliance statistics in many other states are troublesome. South Dakota currently ranks fourth among all states when registration compliance men reach age 20 for 2001. However, only 83% of the 18-year-old South Dakota young men are registering on time within 30 days of their 18th birthday, as the law requires, and the remaining 17% of the South Dakota's young men are currently not registering, which will hinder the fairness of any future South Dakota draft. One thing is certain, enactment of House Bill 1091 will cure this problem. We have discovered in many other states, driver's license laws in support of Selective Service System registration make registration process easier for all men in the state and have skyrocketed the compliance statistics to over nearly 100%. What's more, these laws cost the state almost nothing. To date, we are grateful that 13 states, the District of Columbia and the Commonwealth of Northern Mariana Islands, have enacted this type of legislation, and just last week, the state of Wisconsin passed the bill and is now awaiting its governor's signature to become our 14th state. We would be delighted if South Dakota adds itself to the list of growing states by conditioning an application for a driver's license or a state ID card to registration compliance. You send a powerful reminder to the young men in South Dakota and keep them eligible for programs and benefits funded by federal and state tax dollars. House Bill 1091 will make registration of South Dakota's young men almost automatic and will help preserve a strong and ready America. On behalf of the men and women of the Selective Service System in the state of South Dakota and throughout America, and the director, Alfred Rascone, I'd like to thank Representative Edelstein for sponsoring this bill and each of you giving it consideration. And Mr. Chairman, I'll be more than glad to answer any questions that you or any member of your committee has for me.
Thank you, Colonel Wilkes. As what we'll do is hear the proponents of the bill and the opponents, and then the committee will ask questions following that.
Very good, sir.
Thank you. Other proponents of House Bill 1091 as a with the proposed amendment? Other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1091? Opponents to 1091. Seeing none, are there any questions from the committee of either Representative Edelstein or Colonel Wilkes? Representative Abdallah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This could be directed at Representative Edelstein or the Colonel. The question is just a question. I think it's a good bill. But I'm wondering, if you have to register for this draft or for the Selective Service at age 18, how are you going to administer this with the Driver's License Bureau, with the Department of Revenue?
There'll be, as I understand, there'll be no administration by the Driver's License Bureau. The applicant for a driver's license simply signs a consent, gives his name and address, and it's electronically the information is transmitted. Correct, Colonel?
Yes, sir. On the application itself, it will have a consent statement that says, by submitting this application, I am requesting to be registered with Selective Service if required by federal law. The Department of Motor Vehicle or Department of Public Safety in the state will transmit these files via the AmbiNet system, which they are already linked to in different formats. No cost to the AmbiNet system.
Yes, go ahead.
In other words, I represent Adelstein or Colonel, at any age of 15, 16-year-old, goes down and applies for a driver's license, they sign this permit that information be furnished to Selective Service on their 18th birthday, or is that how it works?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Hinnies, you have
a question for the Colonel.
Yes, sir.
If I could.
Why don't you sit down, Colonel, and that way the mic will feed into the internet so that everybody can hear what you're saying.
I had a hard time with this bill when I was reading it, and I'm still having a hard time with it. I'm wondering about the people in, when was it, the 80s or whenever, that we had all these people that objected to the draft and they fled to Canada. Did those people, were they signed up with the Selective Service and then refused to be drafted, or did they refuse to sign up with the Selective Service?
Sir, the best way I can answer that question, since I wasn't with the organization at that time, from what memory recalls and me reading, they were registered with Selective Service, and they just failed to be inducted, and that's where they were burning their draft cards, and they were fleeing to Canada. So they were not wanting to be inducted once they had their lottery of the induction system. However, I do have something, sir, if I may read, which one of my other region directors out of Atlanta, Georgia, had supplied some information to the state of New Hampshire. It was an indication that back during the courts, the statement was made by Justice J. Powell, who delivered the opinion of the Supreme Court in the Waite versus the United States, and if I may, in 1985, few interests can be more compelling than a nation's need to ensure its own security. It is well to be remembered that freedom as we know it has been suppressed by many countries. Unless a society has the capability and will to defend it from the aggression of others, constitutional protections of any sort have little meaning. And this was an individual that claimed that he did not have to register with Selective Service and serve his nation. So that was the ruling of that court at the time.
Representative Koistra.
Thank you. Colonel, I'm quite involved with the registration as a school teacher and counselor.
Yes,
I get a little plaque every year for signing all these people up. Most of them do it on the internet now. Well, what brings this, and I've been doing this for years, but the argument is brought up time and time again in my classes is that there's gender discrimination. Girls, could you just make a comment? How do you react to that when they say that?
Well, sir, right now the United States government and the House and Senate have not elected to have women register with Selective Service at that stage. I believe in 1989 or 1988-89 time frame, it became very close for women to be registered with Selective Service, but again, the vote was for no.
Representative Peterson.
Gordon. Well, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Colonel, you mentioned, the people left without, after registered, their name got called, so they went to Canada. There was a lot of them also. I was in the service at that particular time, and 1965 was the worst part of it. And up until the 1970s, Kent State, which you're, of course, quite well aware of. There was a lot of people that did not register, and when times got closer, behind them, they also took to the wings and went other places at that particular time. I know it was. I remember the dates very well because I was with the Big Red One heading to Vietnam in 1965, and we had to take a rifle company and sweep the decks of all the rubbish, i.e. people with placards, so we'd get aboard the ship to go do the country's business. and they harassed us individually on the way back, and it just got worse. But I think it's an awful good bill. But I just wanted to say that it's both types. And of course, the one that's registered, the ones we know about, that's the ones you're looking for.
Representative Tupel first, and then Representative Elliott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Colonel Wilkes, if I understand the bill correctly, then what this would do is two things. It would allow the individual who's not registered with the Selective Service, when they renew their driver's license, to allow them to register through the driver's license agency. And also, if they do not register with Selective Service, they would not be allowed to renew their driver's license. Is that, in essence, the...
That is correct, sir.
Thank you.
And Representative Elliott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, my question is on the amendment, so I would defer my question until the Colonel is done testifying. I think this question would be directed at Representative Adelstein.
Okay. Representative Koister, you have another question.
Yes, I do. Representative Adelstein.
Okay.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You bet.
Thank you. I possibly missed it in your introductory statement, but what's the purpose? I mean, is this to be an anti-terrorist type of legislation we're looking here, or is it another tool to get them to register? I mean, we're using this tool for everything. I mean, whether it's going to be a high school dropout, how we use those driver's license, is just another one of the laundry lists that we're going to use the driver's license?
In my opinion, it's a way to reduce the cost. As you say, you've been involved in registering, and it saves that task for other citizens, A. And B, it does catch those people who either accidentally or deliberately, and I'm thinking mostly accidentally, have failed to register. I never thought about it as an anti-terrorist device, but it's interesting.
Representative Jim Peterson?
Question of the sponsor, please.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Thank you. Do you feel that it's the state's duty to be enforcing federal laws?
I think it's the state's duty, and I think it's our duty as legislators to promote the strength of the United States, and I think this particular federal law is an appropriate responsibility of all citizens. And I think it is the state's duty to do that. Yes, I'm very comfortable with that concept. That's my opinion. That's the reason I introduced the bill. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Elliott, you have a question of the
sponsor? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Adelstein, I'm referring to the amendment. The part that says on page 2, line 11, delete, or unless the applicant is exempt from such registration. I notice we delete that twice in the bill if the amendment is approved. What's the rationale for deleting it? And thank you.
You care?
Yes, I'd have the Colonel.
We'll play rotating chairs again.
Sir, the reason why we're requesting that to be deleted is to take that responsibility off the Department of Motor Vehicle. By submitting the application, if he is required to be registered with Selective Service by federal law, we will require him. Some people are not required to be registered with Selective Service. For example, if an individual is here under a visa, he can still apply for his driver's license, but he is not required to be registered. At the same time, if a young man walks up and says, well, I'm exempt from this bill or law, I don't have to be registered, then every field agent in the Department of Motor Vehicle would have to know all the exemptions. Therefore, they're not qualified. That's a burden that we don't want to put on the DMV, and that's why we're requesting to be struck from that language.
Do you have a follow-up, Representative, or are you satisfied with that explanation?
Thank you.
It looks like you're satisfied. Are there any other questions of the proponents of this bill? Hearing none, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 1091 with the pending amendment for committee action discussion. Representative Hennies.
Thank you. I mentioned earlier I had a problem with this bill, and I still have a big problem with this bill. It's not that I'm against the Selective Service. I served my time in the Army, and I think it is the obligation, as Mr. Representative Adelstein said, of every able-bodied man or woman to do his part for the country. It seems to me that this goes much, much further than that, though, into a constitutional issue. One of the things that makes this country great is that we have the right to disagree with each other. And the acid test for that is when I do something that you don't really like, but you have to respect my right to do it.
You mean like yesterday?
Yeah. Yes. I tried to handle that in a gentlemanly way. So, exactly. You understand. I see. But it seems to me like we're trampling on the rights of people to disagree with the Selective Service. And so I'm not in favor of this bill, and I'm going to vote against it unless somebody can come up with some words of wisdom that change my mind before we vote on it. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we have a pending amendment. Is there any further discussion on the pending amendment?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would move the amendment.
The amendment has been moved and seconded. It is pending. Since there are further discussion on the pending amendment, all in favor of the pending amendment say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now for action on House Bill 1091 as amended.
Move to pass.
Representative Gordon Peterson moves to pass. Is there a second?
Second.
Representative Knold seconds. There is a substitute motion, and what might that be?
I would move this bill to the 36th day.
A motion to move House Bill 1091 to the 36th legislative day. Is there a second?
Sorry.
Representative Flowers seconds that motion. Discussion on the motion. Hearing none, a motion before the committee on House Bill 1091 as amended to the 36th legislative day, which for those in the audience that may not be acquainted with our calendar, there is no 36th legislative day. This would effectively kill the bill. The committee has heard the motion. The secretary will call the roll. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay.
Abdullah?
No.
Elliott?
No.
Flowers?
Aye.
Grizzly?
Aye.
Pennies?
Aye.
Koistinen? Knoll?
No.
Hoistra?
No.
Jim Peterson?
Aye.
Tupo?
No.
Ben Norman?
No.
Gordon Peterson?
No.
Broderick?
No. The motion to defer action to the 36th legislative day fails. The vote was 8 against and 4-4. Back to the due pass motion on House Bill 1091 as amended. Those in favor of the due pass motion will say aye. Those opposed, nay. The secretary will call the roll.
Abdullah.
Aye.
Elliott.
Aye.
Flowers.
No.
Grizzly.
No.
Pennies.
No.
Koistinen. Knoll.
Aye.
Koistra.
Aye.
Jim Peterson.
No.
Tupo.
Aye.
Ben Norman.
Aye.
Gordon Peterson.
Aye.
Roger.
Aye. Motion carries 8-4. House Bill 1091 as amended will go to the floor.